Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, August 25th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. KUAF is supported by Arcega's at the Depot, located on West and Dixon in Fayetteville. The Depot offers full table service for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, featuring coffee, crepes, salads, soups, and libations 7 days a week and weekend brunch. ArcegasDepot.com or Facebook Arcega's at the Depot.
In April, Arkansas lawmakers approved plans to expand Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act. As the legislation rolls out, there will be changes for many Arkansans. The expansion will extend private insurance and Medicaid coverage to over 250,000 currently uninsured Arkansans.
This summer, we've had a series of reports about what those changes may mean. We dedicate this morning's show to those reports. We'll also have our regular Sunday montage and a conversation with Becca Martin Brown.
In the first of our five-part series on the deployment of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich explains how the law will work in Arkansas.
The Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act is designed to help the uninsured and underinsured secure comprehensive and affordable private health care coverage. In the scheme of things, that population constitutes 14 million Americans. That's because an estimated 80% of us are already covered by workplace insurance or federal entitlement programs. The 20% targeted by the act are self-employed, part-time workers, those with no workplace coverage, and Americans with no insurance. As many as 500,000 Arkansans are expected to participate, according to the Arkansas Insurance Department, which is facilitating health care reform in Arkansas. Deputy Commissioner Cynthia Crone is overseeing the new health insurance exchange in Arkansas.
I think we have a lot to be proud of in Arkansas and how we are responding to the Affordable Care Act and, in specifics, the marketplace. First, we in Arkansas are a state partnership marketplace, which means that Arkansas determines which plans go on the marketplace for consumers to shop. Those are approved by the state insurance department. We also monitor those plans. We are able to do consumer assistance, which only four partnership states in the nation are doing. And what that means is that we do an advertising campaign. You may begin to see the rollout of the Get In campaign, where Arkansas residents will know how to access the marketplace.
Arkansas Health Connector is our online site, and it will guide Arkansans towards purchasing private insurance.
So you will see an ad campaign. There is a website, and that is www.arhealthconnector.org. And people can go to that website to begin to get familiar with what is coming. On October 1, they can go to that website and be linked directly to the federal health insurance marketplace. They now can see what are options coming, what is this all about.
And this online marketplace will allow Arkansans to easily cost compare insurance plans, which will be spelled out using standardized language. No more small print, no more sneaky stuff, hence the title Patient Protection in the law's title.
So, for example, a consumer may want a higher deductible plan and lower copays every time they go to the doctor, or somebody may think they don't need lower copays, but they'd like a lower deductible so that their costs begin to be paid sooner. So the consumer will get information to help them make those choices, and then they can go to the marketplace where they have actual, what we're calling apple-to-apple comparison, so they can compare the plans in a way they understand, choose the one that's best for their needs and their budget, and enroll.
And you'll be able to browse bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans.
And what it means is, at the lowest level, bronze, the health insurance company pays at least 60% of the cost of benefits, and the consumer, on average, would pay 40%. And it goes up to the higher levels. So at platinum, the health insurance company pays 90%, and the consumer would pay 10%, but the cost of that plan is higher. So the lower the cost of the consumer, the less the insurance pays, and the more the consumer pays. The silver level plan is the one where all the subsidies are applied against, and that is the plan level where the private option consumers will shop. So that's a plan that generally pays 70% and the consumer pays 30%. But there are cost-sharing reductions in addition to that. So those who are at lowest income would not end up paying more than 5%, for example, of their costs versus that 30% in a silver level plan.
On average, insurance will cost between $200 to $400 per month. And Arkansans who cannot afford all that money will receive help to pay their premiums with sliding scale subsidies. Exchanges are not for casual shoppers, meaning if you are under a workplace plan, you cannot abandon it for a cheaper deal. Again, unless your workplace insurance rises above 9.5% of your income, or if employers' plans cover less than 60% of covered benefits. No American will be forced to spend more than 8% of their income on health care insurance under the Affordable Health Care Law. And several types of helpers will be on hand, including sanctioned commissioned insurance brokers, as well as navigators and guides.
And the guides and navigators will be exactly trained alike, credentialed alike, but they are in every county. They are local community-based organizations who hire people to connect with people in their community. So we felt like it was really important for the consumer to have someone they knew, someone they could trust to provide the information. So 29 organizations across the state have contracts now to hire individuals who will become trained and licensed to do education and actual one-on-one enrollment assistance with consumers to help them understand insurance terms. All of this is new for many people. We've had so many people never insured or underinsured. Help them understand, help them know how to compare plans, and help them with the technical aspects of enrolling. So we plan to have 500 of these guides across Arkansas or more, and we're real excited to see how that program rolls out.
According to an Arkansas Insurance Department press release issued in mid-June, 5 companies have expressed interest in selling insurance policies on the exchange. Arkansas Blue Cross, Blue Shield, National Blue Cross, QualChoice, United Security Life and Health, and Celtic Insurance Company. By the end of July, we'll know in Arkansas what companies will be selling insurance on our state marketplace. A major provision of the Affordable Care Act is that states must launch an online marketplace by October the 1st for open enrollment, which will continue into March 31st.
Open enrollment the first year is going to last until March 31st, 2014. And that's just because it's the first year. Later years, it will be a shorter open enrollment period. Those eligible for private option will be able to come in at any time that they become eligible.
To be covered by January 1st, you must enroll by December the 15th. Now, insurance companies, experts say, have made huge profits from unwitting consumers who purchase basic catastrophic coverage, which, for example, doesn't cover things like hospitalization. Imagine. So one of the best things about the Affordable Care Act is that insurance companies can no longer reject you based on pre-existing conditions, up your rates, or short shrift you.
And the average insured individual is paying an extra $1,500 a year to cover the uninsured. So we will take that away when everybody is insured. We're not having this cost shifting. So it's a way to not only get people healthier, decrease the costs, and eventually the costs of care, but it's a real economic boost, not just for the hospitals to keep healthcare local, but for the whole economy when we do that. And so I think it's important for people to know that doing this is estimated to bring an extra $550 million into our economy at the same time that we save lives, get people healthier, and lower our insurance costs.
And finally, under the new law, traditional Medicaid recipients will be moved into the marketplace via Arkansas's private option, the only one like it in the nation.
Under the private option passed by the legislature, those newly eligible for Medicaid, which would be your non-parenting adults, like an adult male, single, those people above 17% of the poverty level, but under 138%, will be able to be eligible for private option, which gives them the private insurance shopping ability.
So what will happen if you don't enroll? What will happen?
For those who don't enroll, the Supreme Court said everyone must enroll. It's a personal responsibility to have insurance. So in the first year, in a household, every adult who doesn't enroll would pay a $95 fee and about half that for children. And people say, well, that's not very much. Well, the next year it goes up to $325 per adult in the household and half that for children. And the third year it goes up to $695 per adult plus half for children. So by then you're really paying what you would be paying for your insurance with your help, and you don't have any insurance. So projections are that very few people will not follow the law, will not enroll. Perhaps under 2% of the population will not do what they need to do and pay a penalty.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is a special edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large, dedicated to coverage of what the Affordable Care Act may mean for Arkansas. We continue this morning with a story about the launch of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act in Arkansas and how the state's unique approach to Medicaid expansion will affect Arkansans. Again, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich.
Medicaid was enacted in 1965 as a federal entitlement program administered by states to help needy and low-income Americans pay for medical services. Under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Medicaid expansion aims to extend coverage to millions more newly eligible to the entitlement, as many as 15 million Americans. By law, states can opt out of participating in Medicaid expansion. Arkansas is among 25 states that have opted in. But rather than expanding Medicaid, Arkansas is taking an innovative market-based approach termed the private option. Amy Webb is Director of Communications for the Arkansas Department of Human Services. Its Division of Medical Services manages Medicaid in Arkansas.
Well, absolutely. We do have states across the country watching what we're doing here in Arkansas. This was a really innovative approach, and it's something that no other state is doing. And so I think people are interested to see, you know, how the approach works and if shifting this population to the private marketplace is, in fact, the best place for them to be. We're very excited about this approach, and we think it has a great number of benefits, and we think it will be successful.
The private option was a bipartisan effort carefully crafted by Arkansas's conservative majority state legislature and Democratic Governor Mike Beebe, enacted in April.
There are hundreds of thousands of Arkansans without health care, and had we not taken this approach, the lowest income of them would not have had any opportunity for coverage.
As many as a quarter of a million more Arkansans will be able to secure private option coverage via premium assistance. Qualified individuals will enroll on the state's new health insurance exchange, with 100% of their premiums paid for by the Fed. Traditional Medicaid subsidies are shared by the government and states. Arkansas banks Medicaid dollars in a special trust fund, currently $62 million replenished annually by the state's soda pop tax, collecting between $30 to $60 million annually.
You know, the traditional Medicaid program will continue to exist as it does today, which is a 70% federal match, 30% state match. And we will eventually transition some populations that are on the traditional program into the private option.
According to a study conducted by healthcare economist Andy Allison, who is also Arkansas's Medicaid program director, in the first full year of reform, Arkansas will save $115 million in Medicaid costs under the Affordable Care Act. An estimated 776,000 Arkansans are currently enrolled in traditional Medicaid, but under the new rules, an additional 215,000 people will be newly eligible, with 35,000 more who are eligible but not enrolled. And Arkansas Department of Human Services Assistant Director Susan Bierman is in charge of enlisting them.
In 2014, under the private option in Arkansas, the following people will be eligible for participation in the private option. Childless adults between the ages of 19 and 65 with incomes at or below 138% of the federal poverty level. I think we mentioned earlier the limited circumstances in which parents could be currently eligible. So in addition to that, now parents ages 19 through 65 with incomes below 17 and 138% will now be eligible, whereas historically they have not been. In order to qualify for the private option, in addition to the age and income criteria we just went over, you also have to not be on Medicare and not be disabled. And an additional state-specific eligibility criteria has been established in addition to the federal requirement that those that are medically frail be exempt from participation. We've also said that Arkansans with exceptional needs for whom coverage through the marketplace would be impractical or overly complex would not be in the private option itself, but if they meet the other eligibility criteria, could enroll in standard Medicaid.
The Arkansas Insurance Department is currently setting up the state's health insurance exchange, now referred to as a marketplace. Five insurance providers, including Arkansas QualChoice and Blue Cross Blue Shield, are contenders. The Fed will decide who will be listed on the exchange by September. Eligible private option enrollees have by March 31, 2014, to enroll. They won't face any penalties if they fail to. Working poor who sign up in the new insurance marketplace who are not Medicaid qualified will also be subsidized via advance tax credits paid in advance to insurance providers by the government, or they can opt to pay their premiums and receive an income tax credit on their annual returns. But Susan Bierman says those who qualify under the new Medicaid rules won't pay a dime.
Right. So for private option enrollees in Arkansas, Arkansas Medicaid will be paying the full premiums using Title 19, which is the section of the Social Security Act which authorizes Medicaid. So Arkansas Medicaid will be paying the premiums for the new private option enrollees with Title 19 funding.
100% federally funded for the first 3 years.
Beyond that, there's an increasing state share topping out at 10%. In 2020 and beyond.
Arkansas Department of Human Services staff are still planning outreach strategies to channel eligible Arkansans into the insurance marketplace, scheduled to launch October 1st.
You know, the criteria is based on age between 19 and 65 and the income criteria. Within that group, we think many individuals who fall into the income criteria will be on the lower age of the age spectrum. Generally, not true for everyone, but generally people's incomes rise as they age. So we do anticipate a large number of young, previously uninsured working adults to be among the private option enrollees.
Another thing that premium assistance will do is help resolve churning.
When people's incomes rise and fall below the 138% of the federal poverty level, their subsidy source will change. You know, if their income rises, then it will be picked up through premium tax credits and assistance from the federal treasury up to 400% of the FPL. And as their income decreases or falls and falls below that 138% threshold, they fall back into premium assistance with the Title 19 funding their premiums. So we think one of the great benefits of private option is that it produces integrated coverage within the marketplace and drastically reduces the number of people that churn. So now if someone's income changes, they can keep their private insurance, and it's only how it's paid for changes. It enables individuals to keep the same plan and providers as their income shifts. And this is really significant because we know this is quite a frequent occurrence, with research showing that churning occurs frequently with more than 35% of adults with incomes below 200% of federal poverty experiencing a change in their income within 6 months, that would impact their eligibility. So this reduction in churn has significant benefits to both enrollees by allowing them to keep continuity of care, providers, and plans, and also reducing the administrative costs.
So with millions more impoverished and low-income Americans enrolling in heavily subsidized private health insurance, who's responsible for that copay? The medical industrial complex via a dozen new taxes, and Americans via health care mandate penalties and private pay health insurance premium increases.
And that's when we realized we had overlooked one small but very important detail. We forgot to ask Sandra which bedroom window was hers.
I've been sheltered all my life by the humane practice of courtship and romantic etiquette. I was unprepared for how the rest of the animal world likes to go about love.
Flicks his wrist, sending the eggs up into the air into two perfectly laid out slow motion backflips. But something goes terribly wrong.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
We just heard a promo for Tales from the South. This afternoon, we will be broadcasting a live edition of Tales from the South, broadcast across the street at the Fayetteville Public Library.
It begins at 3 o'clock. There are going to be some music and food available before that. It's free. You'll hear this again, edited down in a few weeks on KUAF, but this is the first ever live broadcast of Tales from the South this afternoon from 3 until 4 at the library, or you can join us on your radio at KUAF.
Now, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe you used this Tales from the South as inspiration for this week's montage.
I did. You're about to hear 10 movie clips that are all classic Southern tales. Bonus, each one is set in a different state. So identify the clip and the state it's set in.
I'm going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again. No, nor any of my food. If I had to lie, steal, cheat, or kill, God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again.
Colonel Bowie.
Santa Anna's got an army of 7,000 men.
So?
Well, you ain't gonna try to defend this broken-down church against 7,000 battle-hard troops.
I just want to hit somebody till they feel as bad as I do. I just want to hit something. I want to hit it hard.
Here, hit this. Go ahead, Malin, slap her.
Are you crazy?
Hit her.
Are you high, Clary?
Clary, have you lost your mind?
We'll sell T-shirts saying I slapped Weezer Boudreaux.
What do they call you up there?
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Earl, you and your brother stand clear. I got no interest in you today. Stand clear and you won't get hurt.
What's your intention? Do you think one on four is a dog fall?
I mean to kill you in 1 minute, Ned, or see you hanged in Fort Smith at Judge Parker's convenience. Which will it be?
I call that bold talk for a one-eyed fat man.
You better sight a mighty fine, Alvin. That there's the last turkey.
You can't hit him if you can't see him, Alvin. Better wait till he goes to roost, Alvin.
You got meat!
You!
You sure busted him wide open.
I reckon you just gotta talk their language, Alvin.
Say hello to my little friend!
Which is what everybody does. It's just that some of their styles are so warm or charming or sincere or otherwise phony, you don't realize they're just trying to get what they want. So you see, my transparent efforts are in a way much more honest and admirable.
Why is it what you just said strikes me as a massive rationalization?
Don't knock rationalization. Where would we be without it?
Counselor? Counselor? Is that you? Counselor? I'm out. Come out wherever you are.
Hey, Boo.
Miss Jean Louise, Mr. Arthur Radley. I believe he already knows you.
Hey, If you want to have some help identifying the movie clips you just heard from Southern Tales, you can go to our website, OzarksAtLarge.com.
Next in our series on the rollout of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act in Arkansas, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich profiles one insurance company competing to set up shop on the state's health insurance marketplace.
In 2 months, 750,000 Arkansans, many who've never had health insurance before, will be eligible to shop for bargain basement health coverage at Arkansas's new health insurance marketplace. A reported $684 million is being spent nationwide on health care reform marketing, print and television ads, sponsored by Arkansas Health Connector, which launched July 1st online, encourages everyone to check it out.
Too many Arkansans have been left out of having health insurance. But starting October 1st, it's time for us all to get in. The new health insurance marketplace has plans for every budget, for everyone. See the opportunities and responsibilities you have to take control.
Arkansas, in partnership with the federal government, will offer private insurance coverage and are deploying a small army of specially trained county guides and navigators to help consumers choose from a menu of providers. And if they enroll by mid-December, their policies will go into effect January 1st. The Arkansas Insurance Department, which is overseeing health care reform in Arkansas, is submitting to the federal government a list of recommended companies and plans for certification. A decision on which firms will be chosen is expected in early September. Companies like QualChoice of Arkansas, Celtic Insurance Company of Chicago, and Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield of Little Rock are competing to be listed on the marketplace. But Karen Raley, Vice President of Communications at Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield, says her company operates differently.
Yes, we are a mutual insurance company owned by our policyholders, who are, of course, largely Arkansans. We don't have to return, pay stockholders, and in evaluating how healthcare reform would impact our customers, we very quickly understood that we'd have a segment of our customer population who would be advantaged by buying a policy through the exchange, and obviously we wanted to make that available to them.
Raley can't divulge the details of their marketplace plan, but what does set Blue Cross Blue Shield Arkansas apart from other companies is that it's posted a healthcare reform tutorial on its homepage to help consumers better understand the complexities. Other companies continue to post promotions.
We're very concerned that our customers have a credible source of information, and we want to be very certain that our customers understand the law, understand what it means to them, and have the tools they need to make the very best decision possible in terms of providing coverage for themselves and their families or for their employees at the most affordable price possible.
Affordable, understandable, and easily cost-comparable insurance plans are at the core of national health care reform, and all companies must now provide 10 essential health benefits.
And the great majority of them were already covered by most comprehensive major medical plans. There are things like hospitalization, outpatient treatments, doctor's office visits, emergency care, maternity care, preventive coverage. Some of the benefits at Arkansas Blue Cross were offered on a voluntary basis, but now all those benefits are a required part of every plan that will be sold after January 1.
Other essential benefits are coverage for mental health and substance abuse services, prescription drugs, rehab, and lab work. Reform now bars companies from currently rejecting applicant members based on pre-existing conditions. Young adults can now remain on their family's insurance plan until age 26. Group coverage can no longer prorate based on members' collective health status, and lifetime limits on benefits have been outlawed.
Certainly, we hope that the benefit plans that we offer at the pricing that we'll be offering those plans will be attractive to the market. We're operating in a vacuum. We have no idea what our competitors' rates or what their benefits might be. One important point to mention is that most Arkansans purchase their health insurance coverage through an independent agent or broker. And under the new law, agents and brokers will be very actively engaged in helping their customers make a determination about the best health insurance plan for them on the exchange.
The health insurance marketplace plans will fall into four broad categories ranked bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, with the bronze covering 60% of the cost of essential health benefits, the patient paying 40%, and the platinum plan covering 90% of the cost, leaving the patient to pay just 10%. But Arkansas is the only state to expand Medicaid coverage as the private option. What that means is that 250,000 newly eligible low-income, mostly single adults, will be given premium assistance to purchase private insurance on the marketplace rather than enrolling in Medicaid.
So we've been dealing with customers from all income levels for a very long time. What's unique about many of these customers will be that for some, and possibly even for a majority of them, they'll have a health plan for the very first time. So our goal with those customers is to help them understand how to use their health insurance plan, how to use their benefits to get the maximum benefit from the money that's being invested for them to have health care, and also to make certain that they are aware of the kinds of preventive care that their plans will cover and that they're utilizing those services to stay healthy and to catch disease at an earlier point.
Nationwide, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act will extend coverage to an estimated 30 million uninsured Americans, a tenth of the U.S. population. Insurance marketplaces will also provide financial assistance to lower and middle income individuals and families to cover out-of-pocket deductibles and co-payment costs via tax credits.
The law says between 138% and 400% of the federal poverty level are eligible to receive subsidies under the exchange. So people at the lower end of that eligibility mark that are maybe 150, 160% of the federal poverty level and below will find that they can take that subsidy and use it to purchase a bronze plan and potentially have no out-of-pocket costs. You know, they may have no cost for their premium. And the bronze plans will still provide preventive care at no cost. Many of them should have co-pays for doctor visits and drugs. And so it should be a very good thing for people, even if they can't afford what the government requires them to pay in terms of premium.
So exactly who's footing the co-pay for health care reform? The medical industrial complex will be taxed. Medicare payments to hospitals and insurance companies will be reduced. And across the board, premium hikes can be expected.
There are a number of new taxes associated with the ACA. There are five, I believe. Not all last. Some of them sunset after 3 or 4 years. One doesn't take effect until 2018. But insurance carriers do believe that the cumulative impact of the taxes will add anywhere from 3 to 5% to an individual's insurance premium, just like state and federal taxes add, sales taxes add to the cost of goods we purchase today. So we do anticipate there will be some cost there, but the rate shock that people refer to in the media when they are talking about the cost for individuals associated with the healthcare law are not so much driven by the taxes as they are by the change in how insurance policies will be rated under the new law.
And next month, a handful of insurance companies will know how they've been rated for listing on Arkansas's insurance marketplace. And the chosen firms will be under a national spotlight given the privatization of Medicaid expansion in Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010 is providing community clinics across the U.S. billions of dollars to provide basic health care to underserved communities. In Washington and Benton counties, Community Clinic, a ministry of St. Francis House, will receive an infusion and plans to expand into southern Washington County. Here again, a report from Jacqueline Froelich.
This looks like a mess.
Community Clinic of Northwest Arkansas Executive Director Kathy Grisham shows off a new 7,500 square foot wing expansion at headquarters in downtown Springdale.
And we've added, I think, 15 exam rooms so that we will have two more providers joining us for family practice. And adjoining us.
2 years ago, Grisham was awarded $500,000 in federal funding to expand. Money made available to federally qualified community health centers, part of an $11 billion earmark under health care reform. Community Clinic operates medical offices in Springdale, Rogers, and Siloam Springs, several dental clinics, and a growing number of school-based health centers. But unlike conventional clinics, patients are assigned case managers to better guide health decision-making. And growing the clinic remains an imperative, Kathy Grisham says.
We saw 30,000 patients last year, which is an increase of 100% in 5 years.
But 90,000 patients had to be turned away. 53% of Community Clinic's patients are children covered under Medicaid SCHIP programming, and many of their parents have no insurance at all.
Many of them who have not had insurance have received care here at the clinic on a sliding fee scale. So we're anticipating that most of them will now have insurance to cover the care that they're receiving here at the clinic.
Because starting January 1st, an estimated 250,000 Arkansans will be able to enroll in Medicaid, but only Arkansas is expanding Medicaid differently. Under the Arkansas Independence Health Care Act of 2013, passed by the state legislature last April, newly eligible recipients, single adults who earn 133% of poverty level, or around $15,000 a year, will be directed to seek private coverage in the state's new insurance marketplace. Their premiums will be paid for by the Fed. But the Department of Human Services, which oversees Medicaid in Arkansas, by law, is in the process of seeking a waiver from the U.S. Department of Human Services Centers for Medicare and Medicaid to allow insurance companies to negotiate their own rates with providers, cutting reimbursements to Community Clinic by as much as 25%. Again, Kathy Grisham.
The waiver was only introduced or made public June 24th. And no one knew what was contained in it.
Community Clinic, Grisham says, has operated for years in the black. It's among 12 federally qualified community health centers, or FQHCs, operating on 83 sites across the state, which are at risk of losing significant income, says Sip Mouden. She's chief executive officer of the Community Health Center of Arkansas, based in Little Rock.
The waiver that we have taken exception to is a waiver of the Social Security Act 1902A15. And what that really is saying is DHS Medicaid wants to eliminate our what we call our PPS rate.
The Medicare, Medicaid, and SCHIP Benefits Improvement Protection Act of 2000 established for FQHCs a prospective payment methodology, PPS for short, an enhanced Medicaid per-patient visit rate based on reasonable costs of care. Last count, Arkansas FQHCs served 165,000 patients, nearly 66,000, more than one-third, with no insurance.
We can't change what the federal government has dictated to us by law, what we must provide to everybody, regardless of the patient that comes in. It's also going to affect the fact that our health centers may have to close some sites. They may have to lay off physicians and nurses and dentists and support staff because the revenues will not be there.
Sip Mouden laid out her case at a joint meeting of the State House and Senate Public Health Committee in Little Rock on July 25th, leading up to the deadline for submitting the waiver August 2nd.
Our federally qualified health centers are very efficient and very effective and do a great job not only providing quality of care, but saving the state dollars for unnecessary hospitalizations, emergency room use, and for specialty care referrals, because we're working with them on preventative care and primary care.
At the hearing, Mouden revealed potential financial losses based on the last calendar year.
If, in fact, the 1115 waiver, 1902A, had been approved back during the calendar year of 2012, and our projections range from $8,650,000 to $13,630,000.
Added to that, an additional $22 million in uncompensated care, Mouden says. In an email exchange with the Department of Human Services, spokesperson Amy Webb wrote that in order to implement what was outlined in the Arkansas Healthcare Independence Act, her department has to seek the waiver, one of several from the federal government. A decision is pending within 90 days.
Our community clinics provide a safety net for thousands of Arkansans all across our state.
Greg Letting, House Minority Leader and Democratic State Representative, District 86, Fayetteville, says he and other legislators are exploring options to help.
The governor and a few others have talked about setting up, finding some funds to set up a reserve fund that can help keep the community clinics going if they do begin to see their revenue stream decline while they figure out a way to adapt to this new system. That's been one of the discussions. I know there was some talk of perhaps pulling out the 1115 waiver from the private option legislation, but that's just not at all possible.
In the meantime, Kathy Grisham, who 15 years ago began turning a tiny charity health clinic into a federally qualified regional health center, remains on schedule to complete expansion of Community Clinic of Northwest Arkansas.
This will be our waiting room. Oh, and there are cabinets that will be installed. Looks good, doesn't it?
Later today on This American Life, we replay one of the most popular stories that we've ever put on the air about a brother and sister who want to escape a fantastically overprotective mom. And to do that, they invent an entire family, the McCrearys, who they say they're babysitting for. Not that the mom didn't get suspicious.
She said, "I just got off the phone with Mrs. McCreary. She hasn't seen you in weeks."
Later today.
This American Life just ahead this morning at 10 o'clock here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
We'll conclude our series of reports this morning about the Affordable Care Act's effect on Arkansas with a look at how small businesses might be affected.
Under the new Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, millions of Americans with no insurance will soon, by law, have to purchase a policy on federal and state-operated insurance exchanges or marketplaces opening October 1st. Those who cannot afford premiums will receive government subsidies. Medicaid will also be greatly expanded in many states, including Arkansas. The law also stipulates that businesses with more than 50 full-time employees, those working at least 30 hours a week, must provide affordable insurance to workers or face stiff penalties. Implementation for the business sector will occur in phases, says Bruce Donaldson. He's producer specialist with the Arkansas Health Connector Division at the Arkansas Insurance Department.
In Arkansas, we made the decision that small group will consist of 2 to 50 full-time employees. And though that particular size group, anywhere between 2 and 50, will be able to shop on the exchange for small group plans. If you're over 50, then you were not able to shop on the exchange this year, but in 2016, we will allow groups of up to 100 employees, full-time employees, shop on the exchange. And in 2017, we have another big decision to make. Will we allow groups of over 100 employees to shop on the marketplace?
The goal of the Affordable Care Act is to provide coverage for the uninsured and underinsured. And according to a shared responsibility provision of the law, certain small businesses must provide workers access to affordable coverage. Bruce Donaldson's been traveling the state explaining the law to companies, consumer groups, and advocates, as well as with insurance brokers.
The employers will be able to go online, set up an account for themselves, or go through an agent and broker, which that's what they normally do and have as part of their employee benefits, is to have an agent and broker navigate the process And so they will set up an account. The agent and broker will navigate that process for them. And in this very first year, in 2014, they will select a plan for the employer and all the employees. That was another delay that happened in that. In year two, a small group, a small employer between 2 and 50, in year two will be able to select more than one plan, or his employees can select among the plans that are available in the marketplace.
Companies with less than 50 full-time employees will qualify to purchase private health insurance group coverage on the Small Business Health Options Program, SHOP for short, and tax credits are available.
Yes. Actually, the magic number for the small group to get to be able to get tax credits, it's the 25. It's less than 25, I should say, and that small group of less than 25 employees will be able to access tax credits. So the employer's contribution, he will get help paying his contribution to the plan, and that was done to enable a small group starting out in the first couple of years and not being able to afford a group plan, will now be able to afford to set up a group plan for his employees. He's eligible to receive up to 50% of his contributions as the employer, but that has to be done through a form and possibly the help of an accountant.
Companies with more than 25 workers will not get tax credits, and only businesses with 50 or more full-time employees, again, must comply with the ACA's employer mandate or be penalized starting in 2015.
Groups of under 50 lives will not be mandated to offer insurance to his employees. So those that don't, the employees can go on the exchange and get premium tax credits and help paying their premiums.
The law is confusing, but the Small Business Administration offers clear online guidance at sba.gov/healthcare. In Arkansas, Linda Nelson is the district director of the Small Business Administration. She, too, has been busy hosting workshops around the state on the nuts and bolts of the Affordable Care Act. She says as many as 250,000 small businesses currently operate in the state, but only a small portion will be affected by the new law.
Right. The estimate is that it's only going to impact about 4%, that 96% are either already providing are too small to have to be under the mandate.
Nationwide, more than 90% of businesses with 50 or more workers currently provide coverage. That's according to a Kaiser Employer Health Benefits survey, circa 2011. By comparison, though, just 57% of businesses with 50 or fewer employees provide health benefits. Linda Nelson says previous to health care reform, many small businesses struggled to secure affordable coverage for workers.
The Council for Economic Advisors did a study several years ago, but it's still pertinent now, and it demonstrated that small businesses who did provide health care insurance paid 18% more than their larger counterparts, and often with less coverage. The other thing that is important about the Health Care Act that will help balance that out, well, there's several things. One is, instead of having a small group pool, you know, if you had 25 employees, that's the pool, and that's the risk assessment basis. This will spread that out among all of the small groups who are looking in the shop, which is the equivalent of the business marketplace.
Because small companies, studies show, would experience rate spikes if just one employee suffered a catastrophic injury or illness.
And one small bank told me that last year, I believe it was, one year, their premiums rose 69%. And that what happened was one employee had to have a heart transplant. And so that kind of jacking up of premiums won't happen. The other thing is the insurance companies have to spend at least 80% of the premiums they collect on actual health care provisions rather than administrative costs. And if they don't, they have to give a rebate back to whoever paid the premiums, essentially.
The new law stipulates that any insurance company rate increase over 10% must be disclosed and justified.
So I think those things will help give some stability. When small businesses don't know how to project their expenses for the coming year, and all of a sudden they get hit with a whopping increase in health care that they haven't budgeted for, they either have to drop the health care or cut something else for employees. So I think it will help them better to plan for their budgets.
On the business side, the Affordable Care Act mandates insurance providers must now offer 10 essential benefits on both individual and group plans, including emergency and ambulance services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and behavioral health treatment, prescription drug coverage, rehabilitative services and devices, lab work, preventive and wellness services, chronic disease management, plus dental and vision care. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, August 25th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is Becca Martin Brown. She is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I can't believe you guys are still up and moving.
Oh, there's more to be done today. We've got another live broadcast this afternoon.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk about the Great Depression in a completely different context.
Okay.
It's what happens on Monday.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting how an exhibit at Crystal Bridges has come together. This is a new exhibit called This Land, and it's about the Great Depression and particularly the Dust Bowl, but also the flood of 1937 that was horrific for the upper Midwest, which nobody really knows about.
And it's going to be up for a while.
It will be up through January 6th. There's a special kickoff concert by Threepenny Acre at 7 o'clock next Friday. Mm-hmm. And that is free. The exhibit is 44 paintings, prints, and photographs. Of course, the photographs are my favorite. Yeah. Really powerful. Plus the audio tour. And you can find out more at crystalbridges.org.
All right.
There are a few other things going on today. Not that you have time for any of them, but some other folks might. It's Family Sunday at Crystal Bridges. So admission to the Angels and Tomboys exhibit is free. And there are all sorts of activities inspired by the exhibit. There is an American Girl model call from 1 to 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. You know, they've been doing that for a while. American Girl only allows one of those in each state as a fundraiser for an arts organization, and ACO continues to be that choice in Arkansas. You can find out more at artcenteroftheozarks.org. There's a spinning and lace making demonstration this afternoon from 1 to 5 at Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park. And Clayton Conversations is titled Hand Tubs to Hazmat, the History and Heritage of the Fort Smith Fire Department. That happens at 2 o'clock at the Clayton House Museum in Fort Smith. You should call for reservations.
Yes, you should.
783-3000.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The Eureka Springs Original Ozark Folk Festival will present a live recording of Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour Saturday, October 26th in the City Auditorium. This recording will be aired on public radio and television, as well as the Armed Forces Radio Network. Limited tickets are now available online at theaud.org.
And thank you to Jacqueline Froelich for her extensive reporting on the new Affordable Care Act and
yes.
how it affects Arkansas. To end our summer series on the launch of the Affordable Care Act in Arkansas, we examine a new Medicaid-funded program at the Arkansas Department of Human Services called Community First Choice Option. The initiative will assist elder, disabled, behavioral, and developmentally challenged Arkansans who meet certain financial and medical eligibility criteria to obtain services in their own homes rather than institutions. And in the coming year, we will be scouting news stories and filing reports on how the affordable health care law is being implemented across Arkansas. To stay informed, visit Arkansas Health Connector at hbearkansas.gov, or you can visit health.gov.
That's right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, West Fork. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
See you at the library this afternoon at 3.
Yep.